Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. From Vancouver to Halifax, Flin Flon to Estevan, he's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Well, good morning and welcome. Friday morning here on the Rod Peterson Show. And no Rod Peterson today on a Friday. I'm Darren DuPont in the big chair with lots of company today. And Paul, as always, every once in a while, he's on the couch. But Taylor Shire of Global Regina is in the far seat. And Riders Hall of Fame broadcaster John Lynch is right next door because we have a big day. And I know Rod's not here, but that's not going to matter because we've got to digest this Rider game from last night. We've got a Raptors championship to get to as well. It's going to be a busy morning, and we'll have no problem filling 2 hours, especially when we talk about what happened last night. A 23-17 loss to the Hamilton Tiger Cats on the season opener, and all we can think about is the third play of the game and Zach Collaros going down. We'll get to that as well very, very soon. But I wanted to start the warm-up off and welcome you guys in. John is excited about his socks this morning. You put on the nice socks this morning. Put them up again, John.
There you go.
Keep everybody happy out there.
Yeah. Holy smokes. What's the deal? You're excited about these ones.
I get the new supply about every 6 months, 6 weeks from my wife.
Okay.
And she's buying these socks for me for some reason. She insists I wear these instead of the conventional old ones, eh? In the conventional old ones, she thought I was just looking like an old fuddy-duddy. I said, well, I'm a young fuddy-duddy now. They're great. They get a lot of attention. They're only good for about two proper wearings because they get big holes in them, eh? But get a lot of controversy, a lot of conversation.
Yeah.
And I mean, in my lifetime, there's no way guys would wear socks like that, eh? But as we said before, off air and camera, things change. Do you notice that?
You're keeping up with the times, though.
I guess I am. Yeah. Isn't that ironic?
The new trend.
To keep up with the times, Tyler, you got to have a beard and socks like that.
All right.
And I mean, 20 years ago, they'd throw you out.
We can get a man bun on you, too. Just grow your hair a little bit longer.
There's no man bun on you. You've got the socks. I've got the beard now in the summer. But you don't know that I don't wear socks.
No, you pulled my leg, aren't you?
No.
Well, let me see your feet, then. Let me see you.
I legitimately never wear...
All your life?
Never. Well, no, not all my life. Don't say that.
What do you do in the wintertime?
Same thing. I just don't stay outside too long. No, if I have to be outside, and this happens when I do football games, you know, if I'm on the sidelines, I'm not crazy, and my mom will be all over me. She doesn't want me getting arthritis, and she doesn't want me getting, you know, frostbite and things like that. So I will wear socks, or I'll wear big winter boots if I have to do a football game outside in the late fall or the winter for a long time, but no. No socks.
Why don't you wear them now? What's the problem? You don't like them?
You know what? I don't. And I don't even know why I don't wear them. I think it came one summer. You just don't wear socks in the summertime. You know, bare feet a lot. And then it just transitioned to the winter. I just enjoyed it.
Yep.
Felt fine in my shoes. My nieces give me these little packets with beads in it to make my shoes smell good.
That's the problem with wearing socks.
They're worried about that.
The stink.
But that hasn't been a problem. And I enjoy it, and it's become a thing. So now you know, John.
Yeah. Well, my daughter and first wife would never allow me to wear these.
But now you have to, like, every week we're going to be checking out your sock game.
Check the pair of socks.
The weekly sock report.
It doesn't matter if they coordinate, eh? With the rest of your clothes, it doesn't matter. They're on their own island, so to speak, and people look at my socks. And it's amazing when you go to an event with seven or eight people, how many people look at your socks.
Yeah.
Everybody just else's socks.
There you go. Good morning to everybody on the Facebook live feed. Bill, Garnet, Todd, Ken. Hey, Ken, did you see the message, John?
Yeah.
He's been a Rider fan since 1975 at the young age of 9. Considers you the voice of the Riders.
Kenny Kiyoski, how are you, Kenny? Best of luck to you. Got off to a disappointing start. Got a big question to talk about later on. We're going to thing about something that happened to that team. We're questioning strategy-wise, and we'll let you know later on.
Good. Todd, thanks for the support on the Sox. Yes, we're good to go. You know what? Dave Adolph, the coach of the University of Saskatchewan Huskies, that's where I didn't stop wearing socks because of him, but he told me once, I saw him walking up the stairs to the press box at Old Rutherford, and he says, I'm like, you don't wear socks? He's like, he can't. He's too claustrophobic.
Oh, wow.
He's so claustrophobic, he can't wear socks to the point where he can't tuck his feet into the blanket when he goes to bed either.
Crazy. What?
Yeah. I'm not claustrophobic.
He can't do what?
Can't put his feet under the covers. His feet have to stick out of the covers.
Holy God.
Can't wear socks.
My God. How does he sleep? Can he turn on his side?
I think he's fine.
It's nice and cool to sleep with your feet.
Right?
No?
Can he turn on his side?
Oh, yeah. It's just his feet.
We should have these
Interesting.
Guys in. We should have these guys in, eh?
The conversation.
Let's have a full seminar on socks.
We're going to have a seminar on socks. Well, the things we do when Rod's not here, right?
Yeah, when Rod's not here, yeah.
Right?
Well, the boss is away, eh?
Hey, we've got this 23-17 Rider loss to get to. And, Clark, can we pull up Rod's tweet? Let's do this right off the top. And then we'll get to my thoughts, because this is the RP show. Rod was on Twitter last night. And one series into the season and the CFL is facing a crisis. This is Rod on his Twitter, at Rod Peterson. One person to blame, at Simone Lawrence. Send a message with a one-game suspension or forever hold your peace on player safety. That's out to the CFL. As of this morning, over 425 likes, 428 likes now, 60 retweets. It's generating a ton of buzz. 77 comments on that thread, too. My initial reaction was, I mean, I put my head in my hands. Three plays into the season, and we talked about this earlier in the day yesterday, that the whole season hinges on Zach's health. And if he can stay healthy, the Riders have a chance. And if he can't, then it's going to be a long season. And to me, this isn't a Zach problem. Mm-hmm. It's a league problem, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't Zach taking a regular little hit. It was he was sliding. He was taking precaution to be safe and avoid the hit. Stepping up, trying to make a play early. And
Simone hit him, though. That wasn't he hit him. You watch it in slow motion. Give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. You watch it in slow motion, and there's no doubt about it. He meant to do it. I mean, that's what I really believe. And I don't know if the coach did, you know, initiated that. Yeah. I doubt it very much, but it's hard to say.
I'll give Simone Lawrence the benefit of the doubt. He's saying the right things today.
Apologizing, but.
He's apologizing.
Well, he's an old buddy. They live together. They know each other from their Hamilton days.
But if you're Simone Lawrence, and at the very worst, it's a 25-yard penalty, and you stay in the football game, and Zach Collaros is out. Why wouldn't
great
you make
off.
The hit?
Of great course, trade-off, right?
Trade why off. Wouldn't you hit him?
It's a great trade-off.
So the league has to make it set an example that this can't be allowed. Now this is the third time. You go back to last year in Collaros and the hit on Brandon Bridge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now again,
yeah.
The league has to set an example that this can't be tolerated.
But
that
Odell Willis did it last year on both those two. And
Jeff Coat as well. Was
and he nothing happened. They talked about it. The one on Willis, he was going to be it's three game suspension right away, but at the last minute it was delayed because it had to go to a hearing, eh? And that hearing lasted for 4 or 5 months. I don't know if he ever did. So, did he ever serve those three games? I don't remember him doing it. Do you?
Do you? No, he didn't. No. But the onus to me is on the players, and Simone Lawrence can't make that hit. It's not Zach's fault, and that's the frustrating part, is that all offseason we talked about, oh, Zach Collaros needs to stay healthy, and the Riders' hopes rely on him staying healthy. That's not his fault, and that's the frustrating part, is that the onus is on the defensive players in this instance to not make that hit. And then if you want to put the onus on the players, it needs to come down from the league. CFL player safety right now is a joke. They've talked about it. They've said, oh, yeah, we have our best interest in the players. We're trying to protect them, yada, yada, yada. Well, right now, it's a complete joke. If it's 25 yards for that hit that knocks a quarterback out of the game, regardless of who it is, if that was Mike Riley, believe I mentioned, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The fact that there was a 25-yard penalty and he stays in the game,
yeah.
And who knows what the suspension is, but
yeah.
Automatic suspension, maximum fine, ejected from the game instantly. If you're going to make that hit. And 10 years ago, you know what? We're not even having this conversation because the player safety issue wasn't what it is. But in this day and age, when all offseason we talked about player safety, hits to the head on quarterbacks, concussions,
yeah.
The fact that it's a measly 25-yard penalty and he can continue on and Zach's on the sidelines, yeah. It's a joke.
Well, we talked about this in the offseason. We talked about it at the beginning of the season. And I think because of him, Collaros, and what his situation is and how the feeling is that he can play great if he does, if he's healthy, Simone Lawrence knew what he was doing. He knows the situation.
Yeah.
And he was out there alone with him, and he definitely had time to alter his position and hit him lower down or in the shoulder or anything. But you watch it. He goes right to the head. He definitely goes right to the head. So I don't know if the coach has suggested that, you know, a funny way it would be, you know, we would have a game, a real good chance to win this for sure, guys, if Kolaris wasn't in. Something like that, a little statement he could make.
But why wouldn't you?
Sure,
if it's a 25-yard penalty, why wouldn't you make the hit? So that means the league has to step in and protect the players. And that prompts our poll question for today, which is up on the Rod Peterson Show Twitter account. I think it's on the Facebook account, and it's at rodpeterson.com too, which is, how many games should Simone Lawrence be suspended for his hit on Calero? So options are 0, 1, 2, and 3+. Right now, 3+ leading the way with over 58% of the votes. Two with 33.8% and one with 7%. Nobody's saying zero, of course. Has to be something here for Simone Lawrence. So Clark, I know he's in the back monitoring the wire to see if that comes out this morning at all while we're on the air. But guys, where would you put the suspension? I say 2 games.
I say 3.
You know what? Because there is no precedent set, and there should be, it's going to be lower than it should be, and I think he might get 1. Because they have to start setting a precedent right now. They have to establish something.
Yeah, but why don't...
And they're a year late, or 2 years late, or 3 years late from this.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but I think it'll be 1.
But why, when it happens, and there was one, like for Willis last year, was only 1. But then there was a hearing, and another hearing, and it was put off.
And then you can...
I don't think he served anything, because the hit was early in the year, like this one is. Not quite as early, but he didn't... He was... Played the whole year.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Facebook comments. And the one just rolled off the screen, but it mentioned that Simone Lawrence may have ended a player's career, should be suspended at least 1 game. Alan says, what is the CFL concussion protocol for players getting hit? Do they sit out the entire game, or are they allowed back in? I think you
go out for 3 plays, you get evaluated. In an injury, you have to go out for 3 plays if you cause a stoppage, but in the concussion protocol, you go inside the locker room, get checked out, and if you pass the test, you're allowed back in. And that's assuming that 3 plays have passed.
Ken says, in soccer, that would be an instant red card with an instant game ejection and a 1-game suspension after that. Tim, my thoughts may be extreme, but if a player knocks a player out of the game, player should be suspended for as long as that player is taken out of the game or he's out. Can't see the end of the comment here, but what does Hamilton have to lose right now? 2 games. Oh, here we go. Suspended for as long as the player that he took out of the game is injured. We've heard that a lot too, but that's very difficult because, you know, injuries sometimes aren't as related to the severity of the play.
Yeah, even in the NCAA, it's an automatic suspension. You're kicked out of the game instantly if you have a
and most leagues you are, you guys. In most leagues, you're kicked right out. Like, and they know that they won't be kicked out. He was there on the sidelines the rest of the game. So
think about the way the NHL is going nowadays, how cautious they are with player safety and hits to the head. The CFL is so far behind.
Oh, I've never.
The NFL, they're kind of trying to overdo it, but they're not ejecting guys right away, but they're calling it more.
And I'm surprised.
But the NHL is setting the bar right now in terms of player safety. And it's being overcalled a bit, and sometimes we slow it down. We're like, oh, did he hit him in the head with the shoulder, or was it a glancing blow off the chest? But still, they're protecting the players and keeping that at the priority. And the CFL is so far behind right now.
Very much behind. Because these guys are on the sidelines after they hit a guy. Like Simone was on the sidelines. I think he was playing, really, after that. And it's just not good. It was not tough enough. And this commissioner vowed he would change that. I like him. I think he's a good guy. And he knows what he's doing. Are he trying to?
Yeah.
I don't know where the hang-up is.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Shane writes in on the Twitter or on the Facebook feed in the comments, epic night at Mosaic. Raptor win. They win the title and the Rider game. Riders played good after that dirty hit on the 3rd play of the game. And he sent in a picture, too. Do we have that one? The Rod Peterson Show was at Mosaic Stadium last night for the Riders and the Raptors. So thank you, Shane, for sending in that great picture and for the Rod Peterson Show being there in the community with all of you at Mosaic Stadium last night. What a great crowd. Did we get an attendance number for last night?
I didn't see it.
They were expecting 22,000.
There was not 20. There was not more than there was the first game on Monday.
Clark's telling me around 10,000.
10, I would say
10,000. So that's pretty good. I know it was a little slow to start with the Rider game, people leaving work and things like that, but then it started getting dialed
in. Look at that Chad McKnight listening to Hamilton's call-in show after the game. And even they were upset by the hit. The host saying he should get 5 games, and he's a Hamilton fan, so People generally don't like a hit like that. I mean, it's bordering on dirty. Did the coach try to induce it? Yeah, I think he did. And now we're going to hear about us saying that, but that's the way I feel about it.
Good. We'll get to more of the hit, but let's get into the Ryder game after we take a short break. Are we ready for a break, Clark? I think we are. We'll do that, and we'll actually talk about the game, which sure. wasn't very good either. But we'll do that after the break. Again, Rod's not here. I'm Darren DuPont, but this is the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
You see them everywhere. Those awesomely massive decals around the city? Yep, that's Sleek. Those sweet-looking graphics on businesses, buses, and billboards? Sleek, sleek, sleek. Basically, if you want to go big, you go with Sleek Signs. SleekSigns.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Rod Peterson Show. Darren DuPont with you here alongside Taylor Shire and John Lynch. Hey, this has been like the morning coffee hangout, coffee row now into the end of week two. But I'm curious to see how you guys are enjoying the show. So take a pick. Tweet us at Rod Peterson Show and at Rod Peterson. Let us know where you're watching from, how you enjoy the show. Maybe you're in the tractor listening. Maybe you're watching on Facebook at home. Or you can send those pics via email to rpshow@dupontmedia.ca. So do that. Let us know where you're in. Maybe we'll get your shots up on the screen during the Facebook Live feed. But we've talked about the hit. We'll revisit that, I'm sure, a little bit later on. They're calling on me to call on you. I know Clark is looking for the phone number, I think, for CFL player safety or the disciplinary committee. Oh, look at that. Contact us. He's got it up on the Facebook feed, blowing it up for the Canadian Football League staff directory. So if you want to light up your pitchforks and do that, that's where you go. So,
oh, that's great, eh?
Let them know how you feel.
Make that phone number. Make that call. I wonder how many people actually call in.
We're starting a riot this morning.
Yeah.
Why not?
It should be.
It's feeling
well,
like
can
it.
You imagine what it'll be like here on August 1st when Hamilton come to town if he isn't suspended?
Well, I'm surprised. It was getting out of hand after that hit, and then a couple of more. It continued
when Powell got hurt.
Powell got hit. And then
Donnie Bro, the corner, made a big one move.
Yeah. You know, and in all of this, we forgot Luke Tasker didn't finish the game either.
Yeah. No.
For Hamilton. No. So to the game, this will tell you all you need to know about what the game was. Jeremiah Masoli was TSN's player of the game last night. Here's his line. 17 of 28 for 169 yards and one touchdown, and he's the player of the game. Mm-hmm. He did add, 1 yard on the ground, too, on one carry.
Yep.
So that tells you all you need to know about how the game was. But what's your first reaction, John, when you try and digest the game?
Powell could have been the player of the game. He was wonderful. You know, the contribution he made to Riders made them effective, made it a close game because of his efforts. Whereas Masoli had a pretty good supporting caster. Yeah, he had a fairly good game. Not spectacular, really, but it was hard, really, to choose a player of the game in a game like that. But I honestly believe that Powell was more effective.
William Powell.
Contributed more.
20 carries, 104 yards, and one touchdown. Yeah, he was very good in his debut.
And a lot of the time, he was running without blocking.
Yeah.
And even Craig Dickinson said this week, I want to give William Powell 20 yards, and then or 20 carries. And then he's like, that might be a little bit high. Oh. And sure enough, he was the most effective player, and they gave him the ball. Even though they were losing, they still were giving him ball, maybe they shouldn't have on that shotgun run up the middle, whatever it was, when Harker was in. They probably shouldn't have handed off on that, but they were still wanting to give him the rock. But I think the silver lining to Caleros being out and then Fajardo also kind of getting knocked out of the game briefly is that Isaac Harker, he looked good. Was impressed by this kid.
Yeah, Cody Fajardo comes in. He finished 9 of 17 for 66 yards. Yeah. He looked good on the ground, though.
He looked fine.
He can move. Seven carries, 34 yards on the ground, and he had that opening touchdown. Yeah. Was aided by penalties, 50 yards of them on that opening drive, including the hit on Zach. But Isaac Harker comes into the game, 8 of 14, 128 yards in the game. And he did throw two interceptions, but you don't add that to the stat line. One was on third down when you have to throw the ball up. And then, obviously, at the end of the game. On
he threw three or four passes were beautiful.
I think everyone was. He had one missed cue. Oof. But other than that, any quarterback, I'll say any professional quarterback, can throw in the pocket. Yeah. They can look good on their five-step, three-step drop, whatever you want. But he looked good when he was scrambling.
He did.
He had such a strong arm when he was getting out of the pocket, and he hit KD Cannon for that one when Cannon came back, and that was on Bro on the corner. Like he was picking on the best corner in the league as a 23-year-old rookie. I think that's amazing.
I like the way he rifled the football.
He made decisions quick.
Yeah. Sure did.
He moved when the pocket broke down.
He knew what he wanted to do.
And that was a big one. He made decisions quick. Now, obviously, at that point in the football game, Hamilton was making an effort to take William Powell out of the game and emphasize on collapsing down in the box and taking away the run game. So that opened up some things for Harker. But you got to like what you see in the 23-year-old quarterback.
Colorado Mines. Well, for all intents and purposes, a Division IV school. Not drafted. I mean, there's no way he should be doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
59 touchdowns in his career. 9,000 yards passing and 59 touchdown passes. So he could throw the football. It's just the caliber of competition you wonder about down there.
The thing is,
but he looks like it doesn't. He can step right in here. And I know who's impressed with him is the quarterback coach, Steve Walsh. Yeah. So he does that in practice, you know, just like he did in the game.
Well, he's a rookie. He comes in, he attends rookie camp, and then he goes to training camp and knocks out David Watford out of the third spot.
Yeah.
This kid's obviously doing something right. We saw in the preseason game he looked good.
But he's number two right now.
No. And Craig Dickinson said post-game that Fajardo has earned the number two spot, and if Zach's out, it's now the number one spot. So Fajardo is going to start, and I totally disagree with that. So Harker,
you don't believe Fajardo starting?
Fajardo is 100% starting next game if Caleros is out. Craig Dickinson said that post-game.
In 6 days, the Riders go to Ottawa.
Yeah.
Next Thursday. Mm-hmm. They go to Ottawa, and they play the Red Blacks. Dickinson, after the game, when asked about Zach Caleros and his health, he seems fine, but wasn't fine enough to put him back in. Yeah. So a big question mark right now as to whether Zach will be able to play in a week's time or not. If he's fine and he passes all the tests and he can be back to practice, great. You're right. Cody Fajardo is the number two and would be the number one and get the start. But you don't agree with that, John?
No. Haven't we been through this route before? This sounds awful familiar, guys. He's not that hurt that bad. He'll be back. Hey? Then he doesn't come back. But Cody Fajardo, no, I think the starter should be Harker all the way. Very impressed with what he did. Good kid. And he showed me he can throw the football.
He's a raw rookie, and that's my only thing. So if Zach can't go, and Zach very well might be able to play next Thursday, and we're not even talking about this.
Yeah, he might be able
to. I hope so. Yeah, Fajardo should have a short leash, if so.
Yeah.
Give him the first quarter, and if he's not showing anything, yank him. Fajardo was fine last night, but Harker was playing so well they couldn't take him out, aside from that terrible play call on the 10-yard line or whatever it was when they brought him in.
But that's Fajardo when he was in Toronto.
Yeah, but I'm saying
that's all he did.
But Harker was playing well enough that they didn't pull Fajardo.
Right.
And so do you just give it to Fajardo and shorten the leash? I think that's probably what he'll do. Because he's earned the number two spot, I would say.
He's earned it? Why?
His experience and what he did in the preseason. In my opinion.
John,
Harker showed more.
Harker's 23.
Don't you think Harker showed more?
Fresh out of school.
John, they love you in the Facebook comments. John Lynch knows his stuff. That's from Brad Mark. Isaac Harker will be good. This coming from Adam. But we cannot rush him into the fire. Yeah. And Jerry says, Fajardo should start. Let's rally behind him. He's the quarterback who put up the points, not discounting Harker, but he was awesome. Give him a shot and confidence. Okay. Chad McKnight, listen to... Okay, we had that comment already, right? Listen to Hamilton's call-in show after the game, John. You mentioned that one about the five-game suspension. That was up on my prompter here and on the Facebook comments.
But people in the league all across the country can see what a terrible hit that was.
Yes.
And with a thug.
Absolutely.
And punk.
But my thoughts on Lawrence was. Fajardo versus Harker and the starting. And I had this, the same thought, when the Pittsburgh Penguins were making their run and Marc-Andre Fleury went out and... why is his name slipping my mind?
Matt Murray.
Matt Murray came in and played. And then when Marc-Andre Fleury came back, who should start? And Murray was playing so much better. Well, here's how I shake this out. Cody Fajardo should absolutely start the Riders game on Thursday. And here's why. There is no bad decision by starting Fajardo. Okay. When you're looking at Harker, if he's your quarterback of the future, you have to protect him. And you have to protect his confidence. If he's the backup, there's no pressure on him. All the pressure is on Cody Fajardo. And if Fajardo fails and Harker comes in, there's no pressure to be the number one guy and start the game and win. But if Harker comes into the game, he's got the pressure of an 0-1 team and a fan base that is hungry here. And you have to win that football game. You have to play well. And if he doesn't, you shake his confidence, and now you've got a backup quarterback in Fajardo who was stripped of his role as the number two now, who's not confident because he was taken or pushed down the depth chart, and you want him to come in and save the day.
Why right? do you want to make Fajardo so confident? Well, you like
you're trying to balance everybody's confidence and their emotions in the game. You tell Fajardo he's now not the number two and he's the number three.
Yeah.
He's shaking a little bit. So now he's not a valuable option coming in if Harker fails. Right? It's the same thing that happened with Brandon Bridge.
Yep.
Brandon Bridge was an excellent number two behind Kevin Glenn. He had his best season when he came in off the bench. How many times? Six or seven times? Came off the bench, led great drives. He showed confidence because he was coming in to save the day. There was no pressure. He didn't have to be the guy that's going to lead your team and not make any mistakes. He had to come in, play free, and guess what? We're already playing bad. Now I'm coming in to try and win the game, rally the troops. There's so much confidence there. Right?
I think Harker could start.
So, how?
And Darren, you have two confident quarterbacks.
How long is the leash for Fajardo? Because he's going to start 100%. Fajardo's starting if Zach can play. Yeah. I think that's already been determined. But now it's about the leash. How long is his leash? Harker is good, and I see a lot of comments that he'll start. There's no way that unless Fajardo doesn't pass a concussion protocol, then you have one quarterback left. There's no way that Harker starts this next game, and I agree with you. He shouldn't. But he should get an opportunity to show he can continue to play if Fajardo's not.
Okay, how short is the leash?
Yeah, that's the question.
5 minutes, 10?
5 minutes.
Well, half. And you know what? It'll depend on the game.
Half.
Because they have to make a drive.
I know, John, we're going to get into...
5 minutes. I like it.
Chris says the Colorado School of Mines is actually D2, not D4. John, I know you're being sarcastic, right? We were just having some fun with it. But you're right. It'll depend on the game, and I know you want to get into the defense, too, before we're through here this morning, John, and talk about that front four, which we're so excited about,
right.
But maybe you're not quite as excited. That's we'll get into that. But it'll depend on how that defense plays. Yep. If the game is within a score or within 10 points, I think Fajardo will keep playing, I think, unless he can't move anything. Because you've got William Powell, who can take the pressure off.
Why do you want to make this guy a hero?
We're not trying to make him a hero.
We want him in the game. And I'm talking about winning.
Worth right.
Harker can go out there and win.
But one game is not worth sacrificing the future of your team. If Isaac Harker, you feel he's the future, we have to put him in the best position to succeed and put Cody Fajardo in the best position to succeed and put this whole team in the best position to succeed. Right? Mm-hmm.
If you
it's
think-
just like me and Rod. Rod's the quarterback, right? It's his show.
There you go.
Right. When I slide into this chair, there's no pressure. All I got to do is come in here and keep you two yahoos in line and have some fun. But if I'm hosting the show, now I'm responsible for ratings and I got all this pressure on me. And we've had to tell Rod that he's not the guy anymore. Now he's number two.
Yeah.
So his confidence is rattled and he doesn't want to do it anymore. That's how I picture it. It's the exact same thing as me and Rod. I come in here now, everything's great. I don't have the expectations of being the number one guy or being Rod. But guess what? We're doing okay. I think the comments are rolling in. We're keeping
Fajardo,
the ball.
You guys are going all out to make him the hero. Harder played better.
He did.
What I saw.
We're not arguing with that.
We want to win the next game. This is not exhibition season, you guys. We want to win the next game.
You're thinking long term. You're thinking who is the next quarterback for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
It very well might be Harker, but that doesn't mean that he should play the next game. Or start the next.
Tino Sinceri looked pretty good in a preseason game.
Oh, did he ever? Yeah, he did. That's right.
Okay, on that
note. How about Randy Quesada, Rick Quesada? You don't remember him, do you?
I don't. But we'll.
That's before our time.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, we'll get into the Rider defense after the break. Send us your pictures. Where are you watching from? Show us show us Coffee Roll. We want to see more than the comments. And of course, if you're listening at rodpeterson.com, maybe you're in the tractor, wherever you may be. Unless you're driving, don't send us a picture. But you can tweet those to at Rod Peterson Show or at Rod Peterson, or send us via email, rpshow@dupontmedia.ca. Back with more. And here in the studios, Taylor Shire, John Lynch, I'm Darren DuPont, and you're watching on Facebook Live, listening at rodpeterson.com.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth. It's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rod.
All right, welcome back. Thanks for tuning in here on Facebook Live or at rodpeterson.com, or if you're listening to the podcast, available on all major podcast platforms. Welcome to the Friday edition of the RP Show. Honestly, I expected to sit in this chair today without Rod, and I expected to look up there and just be crushed with zero people. I expected everybody just to leave morning coffee, but that would be that wouldn't be very good. But we're back, and look out now, because John is off the decaf coffee. Uh-oh. And we've got him on the unleaded here, ready to roll this morning. So if you thought we were in trouble off the hop, we might be in some more trouble. Riders fall to the Hamilton Tiger Cats 23-17 last night. The Toronto Raptors did not. They are NBA champions for the first time in franchise history. What a moment that was. I don't want to forget about the Raptors, because that was a big moment.
Fantastic.
And, I mean, you watched the game, right? You guys watched?
Oh, incredible game.
Incredible game.
You couldn't take many more of those.
How games. Many lead? There was, 20 lead changes in the game? It was incredible.
If they came back for a seventh game, I wouldn't watch it. Too hard on me.
Yeah.
Too hard on
him.
You guys didn't go to Mosaic?
No.
No, I watched it at home.
10,000.
Watched it at home with Tom Shepard.
Okay. You watched the basketball, the Rider game and then the basketball game, and what'd you think?
With Tom Shepard, yeah. Oh, great, great show. Very entertaining. Yeah. We'll get into the Rider game in a few minutes, what I want to talk about. So, yeah, basketball was fantastic for Canada. I've never seen anything in all my life of 81 years that brings a country together like that. I mean, that was just incredible.
Wasn't that cool?
Oh.
I almost went to bed with 0.9 seconds left.
You probably could have woke up. You probably could have woke up and watched the end of the game.
You did not.
It took at least 10 minutes.
Oh, it did. Sure, it did.
And I was bored. I was like, all right, let's go. That was so anticlimactic. The way to win a championship. Oh. We saw St. Louis win it, the Stanley Cup, the day prior. The seconds are ticking down. You see it. Oh, the celebration, eruption. Everyone celebrates. Oh, man, what a dud of a way to win. Like, you saw the live shots of Jurassic Park and everything. People were just like, they were excited because you knew they were winning. Okay, let's go to the foul line. Let's go to the booth and.
But they you expect to lose in the last minute.
But you know what I mean? Like, let's have an exciting shot to win the game, in my opinion. If it's that close of a score, it's just it's too bad. If they would have won it on that three-pointer that Kawhi Leonard hit the previous series, that would have been epic. Then that would have been one of the greatest moments in sports history. But the fact that I think the series and the championship is great, but the way it ended was anticlimactic and kind of boring.
I try and think about it as a broadcaster, and you both are as well. And,
you want the
and
call.
Have been in these moments. Yeah, I'm thinking of Matt Devlin on the call.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what are you going to say in this moment?
Yeah,
the
right.
Raptors are, well, let's wait.
Yeah,
okay.
No,
they're talking about this. I think this is happening. Oh. And now you've got to manufacture the energy and the emotion, and it's not there.
Tough. Yeah.
It's tough.
Think about the Golden Goal call. There's so many calls.
Joe Carter.
Every,
when you think about this
call.
Country and
yeah.
iconic moments,
yeah.
I go back to Joe Carter in the World Series in the 90s, early 90s.
Yeah. That was my only beef with the series.
But nothing like this. I think that parade on Monday will be fantastic. They'll have to have a lot of cops out there to hold back the crowd. It'll be something else. And the parade in, I think, in what? In St. Louis today?
Yeah. Saturday.
Well, tomorrow.
Saturday.
Oh, tomorrow Saturday. It will be fantastic. Two great games. I haven't seen games like that in hockey and basketball for a long time, and it's been just great for Canada.
Will you continue to watch the Raptors moving forward?
If they're winning.
Yeah. Huh?
Nope.
No.
You're not a basketball
Hasn't
guy.
Turned you?
Nope.
No.
I there's no flow in basketball for me.
Okay. Playoff time. I'll be watching.
Yes, I'll and watch playoff time. I will not watch a regular season.
And I'll be following. I'll subscribe. Yeah. Subscribe to the notifications now.
I don't watch hockey during the regular season.
Oh, really?
I watch the hockey playoffs. And the hockey playoffs this year were sensational.
Yeah.
Weren't they?
As they always are.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
We love the hockey playoffs, especially.
I'm just glad Boston didn't win. That would be.
That was wonderful. That was glad. Great to see St. Louis win. And poor old Cassidy, old Hopalong Cassidy, was pretty upset after the game. Eh? He'll take it out on his wife and girlfriends and everybody else because he thought he was going to win. He thought he was a better team. Maybe they were, but they didn't score the goals when they had to.
No, they didn't. They played well. Binnington was awesome. We'll get into the Stanley Cup a little bit later on. Les Lazarick, the voice of the Saskatoon Blades, will drop by. He is going to be in Vancouver for the NHL draft next week.
Yep.
And we'll have him on from the draft floor a week from today, but he's going to come on. We'll get a little preview of that. Big news in the Western Hockey League, too. Matthew Savoy, the highly touted generational talent that did not get exceptional status in the Western Hockey League for this coming season. He was the first overall draft pick in the most recent Bantam draft by the Winnipeg Ice, was committed to the NCAA. He has signed his WHL standard player contract with the Winnipeg Ice. That's big news for them, big news for the Western Hockey League. And there may be a loophole that allows him to somewhat gain the exceptional status without actually being cleared by Hockey Canada.
What about the Winnipeg Ice now?
We'll do that.
Third hockey team in Winnipeg. Is that going to work out okay?
I think they'll be fine because of what you said. I'll watch when they're winning. And this team is going to win.
Yep.
Maybe not right away, but they're going to be good. We got all the pieces.
Well, fans go.
The fans.
In St. Boniface, aren't they?
The fans will catch on to a winner.
In St. Boniface.
Yeah.
And they've got to have a radio broadcast.
Oh, yes.
Have they?
Yep.
No, that's good.
They'll bring their guy over from, and he's very good. Okay, we'll do that. Wayne is watching from Victoria.
Know him real well.
So, hi, Wayne. Good morning. Hope the weather's nice out there. Love the show. Haven't missed one yet. Who is this one, Clark? Shannon. Oh, here we go. At the bottom. Shannon from Prince Albert. I'm in my kitchen cutting veggies. And our daughter is getting married this weekend, and the fridge is so full of food, it might explode. Great to see John Lynch on the show. So congratulations to your daughter on the marriage this weekend. Hope the weather works out. Everything's great. If it doesn't, rain is good luck, right? That's what they say. And if you have any extra food, I know PA's a little hike, but we're always hungry, and the show finishes just before lunch. How convenient. That's always something that works out. Yes, and we do have a picture, I believe. Dustin watching from the rigs. Check this out. So there you go. There's a tweet at Rod Peterson Show. Great place to watch from. Love having a sports show to make the mornings go by. Checking Wells. Hashtag no filter sports talk. And there's one more, too. This is on our Twitter feed, and you can see it up on the Facebook Live feed if you're watching the show on Facebook Live. From Nicholas, listening in my office, in the tractor, on the fields. And that is a beautiful picture. That is Saskatchewan, right? So
Saskatchewan all the way, eh?
Hope you guys get some rain. Hope it comes enough. Paul, who's sitting on the couch, he's got the question that I want to ask. What's Kevin Glenn up to today? We had him on this show. He announced his retirement. Do you think his phone has rang?
Shortest retirement in sports history.
Do you think his phone has rang?
Yep. I think he'll sign today with Riders.
Oh, wow.
Today?
He's got us by the you-know-what. I mean, he hasn't played for a year, really. He didn't have a snap all last year. He hasn't played, you know. But we need him, and we know he can do the job. His fourth time here, I think he'll be back in Saskatchewan tomorrow.
Randy Merkley, great radio broadcaster. I grew up listening to Randy on 100.3 and 750. Is Reggie Slack still available? And he's got the emoji with the crying, laughing, and the tears. I don't know if we got to go to Reggie Slack. But Kevin
Glenstone, Reggie's still alive, I guess.
But I see somebody mentioned, John mentioned Darian Durant. That's a realistic possibility
at
this point.
You're darn right it is, guys.
But if you're Jeremy O'Day, I don't think you bring in any veteran that's been retired. Or
you don't think so?
I think you bring in a young guy and you roll with the two guys you have. You bring in a recent cut for, I think Brian Bennett got cut in Winnipeg. You bring in a guy like that.
Do you want to win or do you want to look to the future?
That's, you know what?
Do you want to bring in?
You're absolutely, right. It's, are you prepared to throw the season away?
Not necessarily, though.
Not necessarily. But you're gambling by going with a young guy. Even if it's Isaac Harker, even if it's Cody Fajardo,
they should do.
You're gambling.
You think so? But what about people
you want to bring in Kevin Glenn and just have another? I love Kevin.
All right. What about people in the seats? They're empty seats.
I think anytime you can talk about the future and be excited for the future and, oh, there's a glimpse of maybe this is the next Darian Durant or the next big quarterback. I think anytime we can have that conversation in the stands, even if they're 0 and whatever, that's more exciting than bringing in an old quarterback who is trying to save the season.
I know what you're saying.
If it was next year and the Grey Cup is in Saskatchewan, then that's a whole different story.
Well,
then it's win. Now, then it's bring in an established veteran quarterback who can have a chance to get you to that game.
I've said this from the beginning of this show's inception, that if it happens early in the year, I did not think it would take three plays for Zach Collaros
so
to go
scary,
up.
Eh?
But if it happens early,
the expression on Tom Shepard's face.
Yeah, and even in Montreal, and in Ottawa, and in Edmonton, and teams and Toronto, and teams that we expect to be in the bottom half of the league, and not saying that they're going to be there, but even this early in the year, no matter where it is, every team's got a chance, and every team has hope to make the Grey Cup, to make the playoffs, to be successful. And I said this from the beginning of the show, that if it happens early on in the season, you've got to go to a veteran, because he gives you the best chance to win. If it happens halfway through the year, or if the season's, you know, going the wrong way, then you hand the keys to a young guy, let him get the reps. We don't know what Zach's health is. We don't know if he's healthy. We don't know if he's good to go again. Craig Dickinson's comments after the game, this is his quote: "He seems fine, but he wasn't fine enough to put him back in. We saw him on the broadcast on TSN. We saw him on the sidelines.
And that was a good sign."
That was a good sign, because when you're dealing with concussion symptoms, bright lights, noise, all that stuff, it's a problem. You want to be in a dark room. You want to be your head under a blanket, and you don't want to move. You don't want to be anywhere. So that's a good thing. We went through the same thing with Adam Brooks in the Regina Pats. When we saw him at the game, that was a good sign. And the next game, he's back in the lineup.
We all know, but the three of us know, in the offseason, Zach Collaros went to three doctors, and they all said he should quit. But he's decided to go ahead. So it scares me.
Yeah.
I think it could be the end.
And we've said that, and that is the fear. I mean, ultimately, we know that Zach, and we love Zach. He's a great guy, and he's a great leader, and we want to we're worried about the man first.
He's great when healthy.
Right.
GWS, right? Great when H. Great when healthy.
Great when healthy. GWS.
The best part about this is that he could very well be at practice on day one and be the starter. And
this conversation is null and void.
But
right?
It's exciting to talk about the future, in my opinion. And Harker is the future, but not the immediate future. In my opinion.
You can't rush him in. I remember being a kid and kind of being drawn towards Darian Durant. Why? Because I'm a kid, and his name's Darian. It sounds like Darren, and he's got his last name's Durant. Well, Dupa, it's a double D, right? Like,
there you go.
So you get drawn to, but he's holding a clipboard. Yep. They did not rush Darian Durant in.
Sure didn't.
He took his time, right?
Yep.
When he got an opportunity, he was finally ready.
Yep.
And you learn from veterans. You can't rush a kid in. How long did it take Anthony Calvillo to become a legend?
Yep.
He bounced around.
Sure,
he worked his way behind Tracy Ham, behind great quarterbacks.
Yeah, he sure did.
Right? That's how the great ones do it. You got to find a way to come in at the right time.
But will the fans at 28 to 30,000 be patient enough?
Of course not.
Well, all right.
Of course not. We live in Regina. We know the fans won't be patient, right?
No.
We can't expect it. No. But that's why I believe, Kevin Glenn's phone's got to ring. Somebody mentioned Travis Alule. You know the guy we haven't talked about, and this is probably scarier than anything, the fact that we haven't mentioned Brandon Bridges' name.
Yeah.
Nobody's mentioned Brandon Bridge.
I was surprised he was cut, Darren. I really was.
Toronto decided to go with O'Connor.
Yeah.
Because they're looking towards the future. And they've seen enough tape from Brandon Bridge over his years in the CFL that they know that that's not maybe their future. So they're going to go with O'Connor, who's more of a... It's the same situation here, sort of, with Harker.
Yeah. But Mike O'Connor...
There's more excitement and there's
Mike
more
O'Connor
intrigue.
Mike O'Connor was great at UBC.
More, yeah.
And he
could very well start in this league.
And he was slated, as you guys know, to be the starter at Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
But Doug Mitchell and a couple other people influenced him to stay in Canada and go to the University of UBC. And look what he's done, eh? 6'4", 220. Yeah, I think he can play.
I think if they bring in Bridge, there'd be more backlash than there... leave it alone. We've moved on.
Yeah,
I don't think
it's easy for you to say that in a critical situation,
no.
The more you guys, I think about it, it might not be too surprising to bring in
as
Bridge.
A number three or as a starter if Zach's out?
No, that's a problem.
We're not
number one.
We are, okay, put it this way. I don't think the Riders are in a market to bring in a quarterback who's not number one.
No.
So if you're not confident that a guy that you're going to sign can come in and take meaningful snaps and win games, I don't think you bring him in.
Because so the only guy that can do that is Kevin Glenn.
We're happy with Harker.
Yep.
We're happy.
I think you bring
some of us
three.
Are okay with Fajardo, but I think if you're going to sign a guy, you got to sign a starter.
Good point.
And I think it's got to be
Kevin Glenn. Kevin Glenn.
What about Vince Young? Thomas says in the Facebook comments.
How's the hamstring?
Vince is in a lot of trouble, Tommy. You don't want Vince. You get him anyway.
What's Johnny Manziel doing?
Oh, he's still in jail, I think. No, he's not. He's not playing. Well, there's no league for him.
Let's not go down that road. That's a perfect time to take a break. And then I promise, when we come back, I'll let you open up about the defense, Johnny.
Okay,
we'll do that on the other side of the break. You're watching on Facebook Live, and you're listening at rodpeterson.com.
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Demand head to rodpeterson.com to access all of the content you may have missed or want to hear again. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
There we go. You guys are loving those cartoons of Rod, aren't you?
It's
the,
perfect.
The coffee going and everything.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Okay. You should know that's our wonderful production partners at IKS Media downstairs. The two Joshes, Drew, they're crushing it. And I'm told we're going to have cartoon graphics of you,
John. Oh, that'd be great.
And the rest of the cast of characters, they're on the way. That'd be great. So,
that's what I never realized was what a whole setup you got here. Don't know what Rod told me the other day. It's just not us sitting up here. There's somebody else downstairs. No, it's what's all together.
It's very big.
We're the same company.
Big operation we got going on here at the Rod Peterson Show. So that's really great. More comments coming in on the Facebook fan feed as we welcome you back. Darren DuPont with you here in the big chair with Rod out for today with Taylor Shire from Global Regina and John Lynch, the Hall of Fame writer broadcaster. All kinds of names are being thrown around for the Ryder quarterback.
One guy says, instead of bringing back a retread, why not bring back Ty Ganji? Because he played himself off the team.
Yeah.
David Wadford, same deal.
Yeah.
Got beat out.
Yeah.
So why are we interested in bringing back, and I'm not interested in bringing back a third-string quarterback. I know you maybe are, Taylor.
I love the Noah Pickton with Kim.
Great.
Yeah, you do.
Bring in Noah Pickton. That would be great.
Bring in a number three.
Yeah.
What about a trade for Jonathan Jennings or Vernon Adams Jr.? That's Elvis Cambites. It's another good suggestion. You know, coming up next hour, the Ottawa Redblacks general manager, Marcel Desjardins, will join us on the program from his office in Ottawa. Be a great question for
him. Ask him if his phone is ringing.
I'm going to ask him. Is his phone ringing?
You know what I'm going to ask him. What's he doing?
What's going on, right?
You don't trade your stars, guys. You both agreed with me on that before.
Jonathan Jennings signed to, what, $400,000 contract, yeah. And he got beat out by Dominic Davis for the starting quarterback job. So that's an expensive backup. Riders could be in the market. We could see something
happen. Yeah, it might be there.
Happen. All right, John. The Riders' defense. We wanted to get to this. You know, I thought they looked pretty good early. Kept them in it. They did okay. But here's just pulling up the box score here. Hamilton finished with 232 yards. The Riders with 366. We actually outgained them in the football game. We time of possession, we had 36 minutes and 5 seconds time of possession to Hamilton's just 23 minutes and 55 seconds. So it's not like the defense was on the field for a lot of this football game. We had 21 first downs to their 13. You know, rushing yards, we had 112 to their 63. But the passing yards, we had more passing yards than they had too, 194 to 169. So we, on all these stats, we did okay. Where's the penalties in the football game? Total penalties, we took 6 for 50. They took 8 for 79.
Yep.
So when I look at the numbers, I look at time of possession, right? If you can win that battle, you can win the turnover battle, and you can win the penalty battle. Now, when you look at the turnovers, we had one fumble and two interceptions and one on downs. Well, you take the two interceptions out because they're at the end of the game.
Yeah.
The turnover on downs, don't worry about that at the end of the game. We win the major categories. Yeah, why didn't we win the football game?
There's one play, the punt return touchdown. 100%. Yeah. That's the turning point for me is that punt return touchdown.
By Freddie Williams, eh?
Yeah.
And terrible coverage.
Yeah, if they don't give that up,
coverage.
If they don't give that up, they probably win.
Two big plays,
but they didn't win. They did
68
win.
Yard.
Yeah,
68 yard punt return. Touchdown was 63 yards, and the Brandon Banks play where he got behind Nick Marshall and scored the long touchdown. Yeah. That's it, right?
But it did happen though. It did happen. He got beat, and we got to talk about realism. What really happened out there? I was looking for a sensational play by our defense. We're talking about a front four that's got a defensive end who's an all-star in Charleston Hughes, one of the best in the league. Led the league in sacks last year for the most part. The other side, they got Mika Johnson, who's an animal, playing defensive tackle at 6'4", 350 pounds. And he is the highest paid defensive lineman in the league, and he's an animal out there. We got a bonus with A.C. Leonard coming back here.
Yep.
And he was an all-star in Ottawa last year. And he goes in the left side, supposedly the left end, beside Mika Johnson. Then it's Zach Evans, and then it's Charleston Hughes. So I was looking for those guys to tear up that so Ticat offensive line. And they didn't.
One sack in the football game for the Riders.
That's one.
And it came from a linebacker, Derek Moncrief.
Yep. So I wondered about it. I wondered about the coaching. So I was wondering about Mike Shepper, who's the coach, the defensive line coach of the Rough Riders. And I checked the program that you get for the lineups that comes on the computer. and they have the listing of the players and the coaches. And they got Mike, the coaches. Oh, Mike Sheffer, defensive line coach. Oh, yeah, it's okay. Then I get up this morning, and I see an announcement in Winnipeg that Nelson Martin, former defensive back with BC Lions and then a defensive back coach here and in BC, has joined the Winnipeg Bombers as well as defensive line coach Mike Sheffer. I'm thinking, now, what the hell's going on? Is there two Mike Sheffers? Is there one guy doing two jobs? What's going on? I can't believe Mike Sheffer that we had here. And people were happy with him signing as a defensive line coach.
That's got to be a coincidence. Huh?
What?
Different guy?
Two guys? They Mike Sheffer? I want to get an answer. I'm being serious. I was told.
I haven't seen that this morning.
Where did you see him sign in Winnipeg?
Well, in Rod Stuff.
I'm looking, and he's still on the Riders' website as their defensive line coach.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
But hopefully he's still there.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. Because I think he just got married. He moved into the house around the corner from where Eric Kilman used to live on Albert Street, in that beautiful area down there.
We'll get the investigative team out. The I team is on.
Who I've known, and he wants to live here. And he is a guy, you see him, he sat here and said, what's my line? You'd say, I don't know, you're a janitor, you do a lot of knitting. He's so thin, but he's lost a lot of pounds. He used to be 320 pounds. And John Chick was telling me, he played with him. He's a sensational defensive lineman. And John come here 2 years ago and saw him again. Just couldn't believe it was him because he lost weight. But this is a guy I looked at. I knew him pretty well before. And unless I'm going crazy, that's what I saw.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for that defensive line to really be sensational. The kid playing middle linebacker is pretty good, Judge. I like the kid.
He played really well.
I think he's got a future, guys. But I think we get Elamanian back here. As he used to be.
Yeah.
As he used to be. Make the underline that. We're in great shape. If we get the guy who's out there now, I don't know. He's got a calf injury, similar to what Durant's got. Kevin Durant, the basketball player for Golden State. Eh? And they're saying he's going to be out for the next year completely. So
right.
I don't...
Well, he tore it, though.
He tore it, yeah. But I'm wondering if Solomon's injury isn't a lot worse than we think it is.
Thank you, Anthony. There's a note from 2014 about Nelson Martin and Mike Sheppard being the coach.
You're a few years behind.
What's that?
An article.
You're a few years behind. It's from 2014, the article you read.
They're laughing in the back. It's all good, John.
No, it's not.
We don't know.
Well, I don't know.
We'll find it. We'll get Rod on this. We got to ask Rod. Okay,
next week we'll ask Rod.
Will know. The I team is all.
Well, I hope it is. I hope it is.
Anthony's leading the I team. He's the new detective on the I team.
I hope it is. I hope I just too tired looked at it the wrong way.
It's all good. It's all good. We hope so too. there was a question about John Ryan, and are we already turning on John Ryan? The punt return?
Did he
outkick the coverage?
No.
Did he not place the ball in the right place? Well, everybody's excited about the big leg.
He hasn't been as spectacular as I thought he'd be. But that's gonna change.
I don't think we're worried about
it. I don't think he out-punted the coverage on that one return. It was just a few missed assignments. Yeah. Two missed assignments probably led to that punt return.
But that guy is a special. That guy is an exciting punt returner. That's his career. Freddie Williams, so I mean, he made a big play.
Yeah.
Got a job.
Had to get a block, though.
We're looking for somebody to blame at this
Everybody's
point.
Got a Williams, eh? And then Winnipeg Williams goes all the way.
I did like the one, the coaching decision comment. I think there were some poor decisions made by the offense. I hate the call when you have Harker march down the field. He's looking good, and then you bring in your short yardage package, which happened to be Fajardo. You bring him in on that little option quarterback drop play.
I know what you mean. They did that last year. I know what you mean. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Let the hot hand continue to play.
And he was a hot hand. He played well. Mm-hmm. You look at him in film.
So don't pull him out in the red zone.
Yeah. You look at him in film, and man, he looks.
But if that's your short yardage team, I mean, you got to go with your short yardage team. And he ran the ball well, but not on that. Not on that first situation.
Bring him in second
well,
one.
Well,
sure, but
that's what other quarterback is good for in Toronto and Montreal, in Toronto and BC.
Fajardo. That's his thing, but not on first and 10.
Yep. No.
From the 15 or whatever.
Third down situations.
Good. All right. Marcel Desjardins, the general manager of the Ottawa Redblacks, is dialed in, I believe. We're going to get to him after a commercial break. Before we do that, Rod's obviously not in this chair. And we've heard from him this morning, too. And he's mentioned on this program as well this week that he's been going through some tough family times. You know as well as I do, his mom hasn't been very, very good. And our thoughts go out to Rod and the Peterson family. Yesterday afternoon, his mom passed away.
Yeah. So, great lady, worked in the Rough Rider office. Just the best.
Yeah. Tough. So we're thinking about you, Rod. We're thinking about the entire family and the clan. I know it's been a tough year. You lost your dad last summer. But I mean, I had a real pleasure of getting to meet Judy last summer.
Great, great lady.
And so thoughts with you. Nobody, we don't need you back in this chair. We're okay. We'll keep it on the track. Be well. We love you. We miss you, and we'll see you soon.
I got some new jokes for you too.
All right. We'll get to those when he's back in next week. All right. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listening at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's The Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.